Amen. You can be seated.
It seems like there should be a third verse to that one, doesn't it? Well, if you would, I invite you to take your Bible and turn to Jonah chapter 3, which Tom read a moment ago. But as you're doing that, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, indeed, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this week, we're continuing with a theme that we've been talking about since the beginning of the year over these past few weeks, and that is, what does it mean to be missional, as both as individuals and as a church? What does it mean that we are missional? And for those of you who were here last week, you will recall that Pastor Tom talked about the fact that each of us is called to be a part of his mission, of the mission of God. And that is, in essence, what it means to be missional. So a missional person is someone who lives as though they are sent by God. A missional person is someone who lives as though they are sent by God. And so a missional church is a church that sends people out in order to live out that mission. So how do we do that? I mean, that's what we're focusing on over these over this month or these few weeks here. I think the passage we read this morning provides us with some particularly helpful insight into this idea. Now, most of the time, when we think of the story of Jonah, we don't think of anything past the incident with the whale, right? I mean, we sort of leave it there, and that's it. But I think, I think there's far more that Jonah has to offer us, and particularly, I think Jonah is a helpful, insightful character when we think about being missional. And so this is true in both positive and negative ways. The story of Jonah, I think, teaches us some of the necessities there are if we are to live a missional life. And then also some of the pitfalls that we have to avoid that I think were a trap for Jonah that perhaps are common to us as well. So he teaches us about the necessities for a missional life, and then pitfalls to avoid if we want to live a missional life, right? So first, thinking of the necessities for missional living, these are things I see in Jonah's story which are essential to the task of engaging in the mission of God. And the first one is what we see in verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you.'" So the first necessity that I see for missional living is that Jonah recognizes the call to share a message with a particular people. Okay, God is calling him to share his message with a particular people, and he understands that. He's listening to the Lord's voice and understands who it is that the Lord wants him to reach. In this case, it's the city of Nineveh. And Nineveh is, you have to understand, it's in Assyria. And the Assyrians are really terrible people. We could talk more about how terrible they are and why, but I don't want to scare the children. So if you read 2 Kings, you see that this is a very, very cruel people. And that's who the Lord is telling Jonah to reach. So the Lord calls him to a specific group of people. That's the first necessity, I think, for Jonah. And not only does the Lord call him to reach these people, but he actually goes to do it. Verse 2, you know, the Lord tells him, or in verse 2, the Lord says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the city, and proclaim to the message I am going to tell you." And then in verse 3 it says, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, the according to the word of the Lord." So the second necessity we see in Jonah's story is that not only he understands who it is that the Lord has called him to reach, but he actually obeys. I mean, eventually, right? I mean, there was that whole incident in chapters 1 and 2 where he ran away and the whole thing with the whale and all that. But think about this with me. I mean, how boring would this be of a book would this be if Jonah just obeyed the first time? I mean, it all would have been chapter 3, right? The Lord says go, and he goes, and then that's it. You know, I mean, and I also thought of this morning. So, I mean, we would have missed out on that whole story with the storm and the whale and all of that. We would have missed all of that. And thinking about it, doesn't that make Jonah, this issue with the whale, doesn't that make Jonah his the first Submariner? Think about it. Think about it. But so eventually he goes, right? He goes to, so we would have missed out on all that if he'd obeyed the first time. But eventually he obeys. And we see the results of Jonah's obedience, right? He goes to the city and he preaches this very uplifting and encouraging message, right? He says, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. I mean, that's inspiring and uplifting. But we see the results of his preaching are incredible. And Pastor Tom mentioned this. In verse 5, it says, the people of Nineveh believed God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And then verse 6 tells us that the king of Nineveh, it's about him issuing a decree that everyone is going to participate in this. Everyone is going to fast and put on sackcloth. Even the animals are involved in this repenting. They're fasting and putting on sackcloth. So in less than one day of preaching, the entire city repents, and there's just a citywide revival. That's pretty good for an unwilling preacher. I mean, it took him a while to get there, but when he got there, I mean, Jonah really got the job done, you know? And then verse 10, of course, the writer says that because of the people's repentance, the Lord relents on the punishment he's going to give them, and everything's fantastic. And this is possible only because Jonah recognized not only who the Lord was calling him to, but actually then went in obedience to the Lord's calling. So those are two of the great necessities that I see for Jonah. And you would think with such a fantastic response to Jonah's message that he would be thrilled. I mean, any evangelist would give their teeth to have such a fantastic result. But as we heard in chapter 4, verse 1, just the opposite is true. Jonah's angry. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. And I think this actually reveals a couple of the pitfalls into which Jonah has stumbled in his quest to live a missional life. And it reveals a couple of them. And the first is that somewhere along the way, Jonah had given up hope that the Ninevites actually could change. It's as if Jonah seems to think that these people were so terrible and so wicked, which they were pretty terrible and pretty wicked, that they were beyond hope. And so he's actually surprised here that they believe his message and they turn to God in repentance. Because he actually had come to a point where he thought that these people were beyond hope. And so that, I think, is the pitfall which Jonah failed to avoid in order to be truly missional. And the second pitfall, which is really revealed here in Jonah's actions in chapter 4, is really the deeper issue behind that first one, I think. And that is the second pitfall into which Jonah falls in his quest to live a missional life is his preoccupation with himself. His preoccupation with himself. If you read Jonah's prayer in verses 2 and 3, he's explaining why he's so angry that the Lord was merciful with the people of Nineveh. And just as an aside, he kind of ironically misses the fact that the Lord has been merciful to him over and over again here. In fact, he's the only character in the entire book of Jonah that doesn't repent, ever, through the whole thing. But this prayer, it's all about him. He references himself 8 times in this 2-verse prayer. It's this pitfall into which Jonah has fallen is a preoccupation with himself. It is this self-focus is the ultimate hindrance that prevents him from living a missional life. As we see in the prayer, Jonah was more concerned about his own ideas and what he thought should happen to the people of Nineveh rather than what the Lord had told him and what the Lord thought should be happening. This is actually why Jonah runs away in the first place. Because he runs away from what the Lord is calling him to do because it's not what he wants to do. And so the irony of this self-preoccupation is that it robbed him of the joy of being used as an instrument of God to reach the people of Nineveh and to have this amazing revival. He totally missed the joy of being a part of that. And perhaps more importantly, he missed out on understanding the truly merciful and loving nature and character of God. That's the second pitfall that he falls into, is this preoccupation with himself. Well, what does this have to do with us as we think about living as a missional people and a missional church? I think those same things are true. Both those pitfalls that we need to avoid, and the necessities for living a missional life. So just like Jonah, we can very easily fall into the trap of thinking that people can't really change. Have you experienced this before? Right? Perhaps there are loved ones or for whom we've been praying for years, and we think there's no way that they can ever come to faith in Christ, that there's no way they can ever change, that there's just no way. Do we still really believe that's possible? Or perhaps more broadly thinking, you know, a lot of the times we think about, we talk about, and we pray about the problems in our community here in Richmond, you know. And we can, you know, when we think of those in our community struggling with drug addiction or prostitution or, I mean, the other things that go on, have we given up on the idea that they also can be saved? You know, I mean, do we really think that people can be healed and that they can be freed from things that hold them in bondage? Have we grown to see them as just those people or just kind of a nuisance? And we think we easily fall into this trap of thinking, well, some people they're just never going to change. I mean, that's just how they are. But ladies and gentlemen, if we in the church, if we don't believe that people can change, if we don't believe that they really can respond to the gospel, if we don't really believe that people can be healed from the things that hold them in bondage and experience the goodness of Christ, if we don't believe that, then who will? If we don't believe that, then who will? So we've got to avoid this pitfall at all costs. Because if the Lord calls us to reach a group of people, or a person in particular, then you better believe he's already working in their midst. You better believe he's already working in their midst. Because if we're to be missional people in a missional church, then we've got to expect that people can and will respond to Jesus. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that? So second, just like Jonah, we've got to understand that if we're to be missional, then we've got to avoid the pitfall of being too self-focused or preoccupied with ourselves. If we don't, then like Jonah, we will miss out on what God is doing. Others will miss out on hearing the message of Christ. And we will miss out on the joy of being a part of what God is doing around us. And the trouble is, I think we're born into we're born naturally predisposed to look inward and to think of ourselves first. And I think it's particularly true in our culture. So the question is, what is our primary concern in life? Are we willing to make sacrifices necessary to participate in the mission of God? Or are we more concerned about the way we think things should be? Or our own comfort? Or maybe our reputation? Maybe we look weird and we don't want to do that? Or whatever it may be. Do we constantly tell God how things should be done and disregard what we know we should be doing? If we want to live a missional life, then we cannot fall into that trap. Well, just like Jonah, just like the potential pitfalls, I think are very similar for us today. I think also the necessities for living a missional life for us are the same as well. And just like Jonah, one of the necessities of living for a missional life is for us to determine who it is that God is calling us to reach. Who it is that God is calling us to reach? You know, perhaps for some of us, there is someone in particular that God is calling us to reach. You know, a neighbor, a family member, a coworker, or whoever. And maybe you already know who that is. If there's not, I encourage you just to ask the Lord. Ask God who He's calling you to share His message with. Lord, you know, who is it that you want me to share this with? And I think He will begin to show you. You know, I think of a story just before I graduated from seminary. I remember the dean of our chapel preaching a sermon that, and part of it really stuck with me. And he was talking about, you know, where we might be sent and where we might go in ministry. And he said, you know, and of course, in in the United Methodist Church, we're sent places. Like they said, hey, the bishop said, hey, you're going to Richmond, and then here I am. You know, that's how that works. And so he was talking about this, and he said, you know, the bishop may make a mistake. The bishop may make a mistake. Now, I would, you know, I'll deny that later, that I quoted that. If we tell, okay, but so, but he said the bishop may make a mistake, but the Lord never will. The bishop may make a mistake, but the Lord never will. Because no matter where you're sent, there are people there whom the Lord is calling. So just figure out where the Lord is working and join with him. Wherever you go, there are people there that the Lord is calling. So figure out where he's working and join in with him. In other words, where God is working right in front of you, wherever you are. So the only question is where and how do I join in? And so if you don't know or you can't think of a person or a group in particular, that doesn't mean that you're off the hook. It was interesting to me that the gospel passage in the lectionary for this week is in the first chapter of Mark, where Jesus is recruiting the first disciples. You know this passage, and he talks about to them about he says that, you know, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Remember this one? You know, and I just thought how well that fits with this. It's almost like someone plans these things. It's incredible. In other words, if we are to be, so when Jesus is recruiting his first disciples, he tells them that they're going to be fishers of men. They're going to be fishing for other people. In other words, if we're to be followers of Jesus, it inherently means that we will be sharing the gospel with others. It's an inseparable part of what it means to be a disciple. Or we think of Jesus' words to the disciples in the Great Commission. He says, go therefore to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And again, if you were here last week, you remember Pastor Tom saying exactly this, that each of us, you know, that if we are following Christ, we have a calling, just by virtue of being follower of Christ. So if we're following Christ, then we know whom it is God has called us to reach. It is people of all nations, everywhere, which includes, incidentally, people right here in Richmond. So I might suggest that as a congregation, it's pretty clear that God is calling us to reach the community of Richmond with the gospel. Do we recognize that? Is that something we're thinking about? Or do we think, well, someone else is going to do that. Someone else is out there taking care of that. You know, I was thinking yesterday about some of the research we were doing in preparation for a ministerial association thing last fall, and I think I mentioned some of this. I was looking up some statistics about I think I've shared this with you, but I was looking up some statistics about church attendance, and apparently nationally, only about 20%, the one thing that I saw, which I actually think is pretty generous, only about 20% of people in the United States are in church on Sunday or on the weekend, only about 20%. Which, if you were to accept that as true, that means there are 80% who are not. And if we were to think that that is true nationally, let's say that is true of Wayne County. And so if that's true of Wayne County, then that means that 80% of people in Wayne County are not attending church on Sunday, which I think is fair. And if that's the case, then that means that there are 53,000 people. If that's true, it means that there are 53,000 people in Wayne County that are not connected to a body of worship and actively regularly attending. I mean, is that so the mission field here is broad and wide. Is that something we're aware of, and is that something we're thinking about? So that, I think, is the first necessity of living a missional life, is to understand who it is that God is calling us to reach. And the second necessity for living a missional life is not only to understand who God is calling us to, but to actually, wait for it, to go in obedience. We see that right there, you know, in verse 2 of chapter 3. You know, the Lord tells Noah to arise and go, and then verse 2 says he arose and went. Not only do we need to recognize who Jesus is calling us to reach, but we've got to actually go about the work of sharing the gospel with them. Now, I might not suggest In the same manner as Jonah, running around town shouting, 40 days and Richmond will be overthrown, you know, though that would be entertaining. Perhaps I might suggest something a bit more casual. But maybe it just means inviting the person that the Lord lays on your heart, inviting them to worship or to an event at church. Or it could mean simply something as simple as offering to pray with them or asking them what they believe and talking about what you believe or simply sharing with someone what God has been doing in your life recently. It's just talking with others about what is important to you. And it can be done in any number of ways. The question is simply, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to engage in a missional life by taking a step of obedience and sharing the good news to all nations, starting right here with the people we already know and the people who live around us? The question this story calls us to ask ourselves is this. Can we avoid some of these pitfalls common to those seeking to be involved in the mission of God? And can we ask God who it is he's calling us to reach and then have the courage to follow wherever he leads? If we can do that, if we can step out in faith and obedience just like Jonah, then perhaps we can experience that same kind of revival. Perhaps we can experience the joy of being used by God to begin something similar right here in Richmond, Indiana. And that is truly something for which we can be thankful. Thanks be to God.